Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
Well, good evening. I hope you had a great meal tonight. The men, as usually, did a great job. Tonight, we're going to be looking at some passages in the Old Testament, but I'd like to start off in Ephesians chapter 6. Famous passage, starting at verse 10. If you have the NIV Bible, it'll say the armor of God as the heading. And it starts off in verse 10 of chapter 6. I'm reading in the NIV. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. It's clear that there is a battle going on, that we're in a battle. It doesn't take too much. You don't have to watch TV too long to find out we have evil forces at work all around us. Spiritual darkness seems to be growing darker. And on top of that, all of I assume that you, all of us struggle with sin, and we fight temptations on a daily basis. Paul lets us know that we are in this spiritual battle, but I want to look at four different battles in the Old Testament to kind of give us an idea of what that spiritual battle looks like, what we have to do, and how we go about this battle, what can cause us to fall. So the first one that we're going to do is starting with Joshua, and it's the Battle of Ai, if you're familiar with this. So it starts in Joshua. The battle is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 7 and 8. Now Joshua takes over from Moses, and the Battle of Ai is the first battle that they have. The first battle that they have as they cross over the river Jordan in the Promised Land is the Battle of Jericho. And do you remember how they won that battle? They walked around the city for 7 days, and then the last day they screamed, and the walls came down, and they won. Right? It was a great victory. So this is after that battle. And then after they get there, they were told to completely destroy everything. So they do it. Or do they? A little bit later, they're going to go battle in this Ai, this smaller town. So I want to read, starting just verse 7:1. They were told to completely destroy everything in the city being Jericho. So chapter 7, verse 1 said this. This is after the battle of Jericho. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against them. Starts off bad. This battle starts off bad. The Israelites acted unfaithfully. And if you look down at verse 3, we'll see another problem they had. First off, they acted unfaithfully. And then in verse 3 in chapter 7, we read this. Joshua sends spies to the city, And the people come back in verse 3 of chapter 7 and say, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So it starts off bad and it gets worse. You see in verse 3 their pride, right? Hey, this is just a small town. We can defeat these. Besides, we just defeated this large walled city. These guys will be nothing. So they go after with 3,000 men. If you read the story, they lose the battle. And it also says, it's interesting that the scripture says, and the Israelites lost 36 men. Now, the Israelites have a massive army. They only sent out 3,000, but they have over 100,000. They lost 36 men, and here's what happens. They all lost their courage. Everything, including Joshua. And he and all the elders start to complain to God. They get down and they get down the face of why, oh why, they ask down in the rest of this chapter, why did you let us leave the desert? Why did you help us cross the Jordan into the promised land? We're all going to die now. No matter how great of victories we have had over past sin and temptation, we should never assume that the temptations we're fighting today will be easy to conquer. We should never attack sin or temptation with half of our armor on. Oh, this is an easy one. I'll just leave my shield of faith at home and the sword of the Lord. If we do, we're setting ourselves up for defeat just like the Israelites. And just like them, after we've been defeated, we'll cry out, why, Lord? Why did I fall? Why did I fail? When Joshua cried out to the Lord, and the Lord responded, if you look down in verse 10, this is the Lord's response. So the Israelites have just lost this battle, and they're asking, why? And here's what the Lord says to them in verse 10. Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. You need to repent. That's the problem. And it must be a complete repentance, not just halfway. And if you don't repent, God continues on, in verse 12, he tells Joshua, if you don't repent, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Complete repentance. And if you don't, I'm not going to be with you anymore when you go out to battle. Well, Achan, the one that we read in verse 1, Achan is brought forward and he confesses his sin. He kept some of the things that he wasn't supposed to keep. And Joshua and the Israelites' response is found in verses 24 and 26 of chapter 7. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Wow. That's total repentance. And when we repent, have no mercy on sin. Have no mercy on them. Sin must be destroyed in order to have victory. Now you have to remember, what does Paul say? Paul says, we do not fight against flesh and blood. So we don't kill the sinners anymore. We don't destroy the people anymore. But we do need to kill all the evil desires and sins that fight against us completely, without mercy. Jesus goes, if you think of Jesus, he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, put a Band-Aid on it? No, right? If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Have no mercy. Repent. And then after the repentance, though, that's not the end. We have to resume the attack. And if you follow the story in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8, then the Lord said to Joshua, so they've just repented and they've killed Achan. It's a big pile. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I've delivered you into your hand. I've delivered them into your hands. So that's what they do. Israel goes up and completely destroys Ai. So in this first battle, we find out that in spiritual warfare, we cannot have pride in past victories. And we cannot defeat sin and temptation unless we wholeheartedly repent. All of it. Then the Lord will be with us and will give us success. And the next battle we'll look at is found in Judges, the book of Judges, which is a little bit farther on, in chapters 6, 7, and 8. This is one of my favorite battles in the Old Testament. It's Gideon and his 300-man army. Now, during the time of Judges, God would allow Canaanite nations to come in and oppress Israel. And after a while, Israel would cry out to the Lord for help. They'd repent of their sin, and God would raise a judge to lead them to victory. At the time of Gideon, the nation of Midian was oppressing Israel. When God calls Gideon, we read he was threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from the Midianites. So God comes to Gideon and says, if you want to look down at verse 12 of chapter 6. So he's hiding in a wine press because he's afraid of what's going on around him. And here's what God says. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What? Who? Me? Where? And the Lord goes on to say in verse 14, go in the strength you have and save Israel. Am I not sending you? Whew. So Gideon wants to make sure he's heard it right. So he asks the Lord for signs of confirmation. Now, so it's from this story that we get the phrase putting out a fleece to find out if God's with you. We're not going to read that part of it, but it's at the end of 6, and it's the point for this is that God gives Gideon his confirming signs, and he asks for a lot of them. No problem, no questions asked, just gives them to him. If God is asking us to do something for him, he will confirm it for us if we ask. So Gideon's got the charge to raise up an army. And he raises up an army, and it's 32,000 man strong. So turn over to chapter 7. So he blows his trumpet and 32,000 men respond. Gideon is told this in verse 2. You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me and that her own strength saved her. When we fight the Lord's battles, when we fight against sin and temptation, God wants us to rely only on His strength and not our own. God continues on in verse 3 and says, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave. So 22,000 men left and 10,000 remained. We can't fight the Lord's battles in fear. It's impossible. If we're trusting in the Lord and relying on Him, on His strength, whom shall we fear? No one. But it gets even better, right? God tells Gideon that his 10,000-man army is still too big. Now, the Midianites' army, we find out, has 135,000 people. So I figured out the odds. I think this is right. It's about 13 to 1. Those odds aren't big enough yet. So Gideon's army must be smaller. So there would be no doubt that the Lord was the one that was going to save Israel. So God pares Gideon's army down to 300 men. And now the odds are 450 to 1. Just right. Okay, Gideon, attack. There are times when God will ask us to fight against incredible odds. And when that happens, we're to trust in the Lord, not be afraid, and follow His lead. So if you remember the story, Gideon and his band of 300 men attacked the Midianite camp, running down a hill, blowing trumpets, waving things, and yelling, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." The Lord went ahead of them, and they had a great victory. Now, during the course of the battle, so it's 300 against 135,000. During the course of the battle, if you would turn to chapter 8, verse 4. And we read this. Gideon and his 300 men, exhausted, yet keeping up the pursuit, came to the Jordan and crossed it. When we're battling sin, temptation, unrighteousness, we should not stop, no matter how exhausted or however tired we are, until victory is complete. Don't allow sin to live and come back for another day. And even though they were tired, Gideon and his men took the fight to the enemy, crossed the Jordan, went into enemy territory. And the result was they routed the entire army. So no matter the odds, when God is with us, victory is assured. The next battle is found in 1 Samuel chapter 14. At the time, Saul's king of Israel, and they're fighting the Philistines. They're trying to gain their freedom. The Philistines were oppressing the Israelites so much at this time that the only men in the army that had a sword or a spear were the king, King Saul, and his son Jonathan. And this story is about Jonathan, the king's son. And in verse 1 of chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, we read, "One day Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young man bearing his armor, 'Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side.' But he did not tell his father." We see Jonathan deciding to take action against the Philistines alone, with only the help of his young armor bearer. Now, there's a couple reasons for this, I think. And the first reason that we find that he's able to do this is found in verse 6. He says, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord for saving, whether by many or by few." First off, he decides to act because they are the enemy. He calls them the uncircumcised. Those are the Lord's enemies. Anybody uncircumcised was the Lord's enemy. There they are. We better do something about them. Next thing is, he had faith. I love what he says. He says, "The Lord can bring victory out of a few or out of many or out of few." And then the last one, why he was so, the Lord could bring victory. Here's another reason, verse 7. So he's talking to his armor bearer. "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul." He's confident because he has a close friend standing beside him who's with him heart and soul. You know, during times, difficult times, times of battling sin and temptation, a faithful friend will make us stronger. A faithful friend will help us gain victory, even though it's just two of you. Jonathan and his armor bearer go to battle. And we'll read that in verse 11 through 15. "So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. 'Look,' said the Philistine, 'the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they're hiding in.' The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, 'Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson.' So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, 'Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel.' Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In the first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half an acre. Then panic struck the whole army. those in the camp and field and those in the outpost and raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic sent by God. And the results, find starting in verse 20, then Saul, all and his men assembled and went to battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with their swords. Those Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone up with them to their camp went over to the Israelites, who were with Saul and Jonathan. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard the Philistines were on the run, they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved on beyond Beth-Aven. The brave actions of a few good friends will send the enemy into panic. Traitors will return, and those who were afraid will gain courage and join in the fight. When we're struggling, find a faithful friend. When you see a friend struggle, be that faithful friend who stands with them no matter what, and then watch God send panic over the enemy and bring victory into their lives. Our last battle is found in the book of Judges again, so we're going back in time a little bit. Sorry about that. It's found in Judges 14 and 15. It's one of Samson's battles. The Philistines are in control of Israel and ruling over them, and God calls Samson to begin the deliverance of Israel from the enemy. And if you would, I'm going to read Judges chapter 14, 1 through 4. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She is the right one for me." Notice verse 4. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Because of his wife, his Philistine wife, Samson gets in all kinds of fights with the Philistines. If you know anything about Samson, he's fighting with them constantly. But they can't beat him, they can't kill him, because of his God-given strength. The Philistines end up killing his wife. Samson takes revenge. The Philistines take their revenge back on Samson. And then the battle is in Judges chapter 15, starting at verse 9. The Philistines went up and camped in Judah, spreading out near Lehi. The men of Judah asked, "Why have you come to fight us?" "We have come to take Samson prisoner," they answered, "to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" He answered, "I merely did to them what they did to me." They said to him, "We've come to you and hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourself." "Agreed," they answered. "We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes of his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With a donkey's jawbone, I have made a donkey's of them. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 of them." Samson was the only one in Israel fighting the Lord's battles. The only one. Everybody else had given up. The Israelites are actually the ones that captured him and gave him to the enemy. They'd given up. They've just said, "You know what? They've given up fighting and they accepted Philistine rule. They accepted the rule of the enemy. There will be times when we have to fight alone, when everyone else is against us. Family, friends. No one else is fighting Satan, sin, and temptation. Everyone else has just given up and accepted it. Can't fight it. Can't win. Can't win. Might as well join them. Can't win. Join them. And it's when we stand alone that God will give us our greatest victories. Remember with Gideon, the odds were 450 to 1. Well, with Samson, they were 1,000 to 1. And he didn't have weapons. The same is true for us. When we repent of sin, continue fighting temptation to the end, and remain faithful and stand alone against Satan, sin, and temptation, God will grant us strength. He will grant us strength by the power of His Spirit and will deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You are with us no matter what. You're with us no matter who is against us. No matter how great the odds, You stand with us. Lord, I pray that You help us not to rely on our own strength, but to rely on Your strength to lead holy lives for Your glory in victory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520, or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.